Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it is 2021. I think people had expectations for this year that were probably unrealistic in that they expected anything to change whatsoever. We're a few weeks deep into this thing now. And I want to know from you guys, how's your 2021 going? We have other topics we can dial up, but they're probably controversial, and we probably shouldn't. But we'll go a couple minutes on this 2021 thing and see where it takes us. So, Pipe, expectations for the year / what the year has actually been for you? Where are we at?
So after the year that was, so 2020 was a weird year for me as compared to the majority of society, because I observed all of the disaster,
yeah,
and then had the best year of my last like 20.
That's great,
personally.
Man. Yeah, you got married. That's big.
Yeah, got engaged, got married, passed my ordination exam, got voted in as you know, called by the church. So kind of just two enormous life shifts that are. Kind of unexpected in the midst of what I think by most people's standards was the worst year in their lifetime in America. So you've got all of that. And so I came into 21 with not really knowing what to expect. I certainly didn't expect it to improve on the America front. And boy, howdy, has it lived up to my expectations.
It has not disappointed.
Yeah.
No disappointment there.
Not a bit. And I didn't expect it to improve on the COVID front real quick either. You know, I have some hopes for this vaccine and whatever. But sorry, I probably triggered somebody by saying vaccine. My apologies, all natural people. Basically, it's exactly what I anticipated, you know. And then the second Sunday of the year was my ordination installation service at church. And that was, you know, a really wonderful thing. So again, it's kind of the same as last year where I'm having these significant seminal moments in the midst of a horse crap year. It feels a bit bipolar.
Yeah. Mm. Baby, what about you? Like I think, you know, you and I are wired in somewhat of a similar way. Like I don't have any expectations for years. Like I don't sense that anything magical will happen just because the calendar's clicked over. And again, yeah, per Pipe, like, nothing magical has happened, so it's not disappointed in that regard. But I don't know, man.
It seems a little bit like some dark magic has happened. It's like Lord Voldemort tried to take over Washington D.C. or something. Mm.
Baby, so you're a pastor, and you're kind of in the vision casting business. You have to speak in those terms. So even if you're not feeling it, you have to kind of like draw the arrows and the diagrams on the glass and like convince people that you have a plan.
A lot of glass, a lot of diagrams.
You're a glass and diagrams kind of guy. If you're anything.
That's who I am.
So what about you for 2021? Expectations versus reality.
Yeah. You know, man, it's, there's a lot going on. So I feel really, you know, up until last Wednesday, I felt really optimistic going into 21. I don't remember what happened last Wednesday. I just shoot.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like a remarkable day. Can you talk us through it in any way?
I don't even remember what happened. Okay. But 21. I have a lot of things. You know, a lot of irons in the fire. A couple of new roles. One with the network I'm with. Another one with the denom that I'm with.
Dude, wait, the boat network.
With the boat network.
What are you doing, man? Are you like the captain's assistant, or what's the nautical like job title?
Baby, that's it. You just nailed it. Captain's assistant.
That's not even a real thing. I was trying to think of a boat thing. Trying to be a wharf guy, the wharf guy that I want to be in 2021. But
no, we just expanded our roles. So actually, Big M and I have a dual role there. We're the directors of pastoral care. There.
Baby, now that sounds like that could come with a couple more conferences, which seems right in your wheelhouse.
It might. Yeah, it could lead to a couple more conferences. Mm. And then I have the same exact role in my denom right now. So I kind of did a dual role thing. And so I'm doing that along with all my regular church stuff. You know, Happy Rant's practically full time. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to find the time for all these things.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we're at, you know, with the, so I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful, I have a lot of stuff ahead of me and I'm excited about all of it.
Yeah.
So there is like a sort of like a turning the corner into 21 did represent some new motivation and inspiration for me, which is not typical for me, okay. like you just described, going into a new year, but this year it just has so much of that. Yeah. That I'm feeling optimistic about it all, yeah. You know, despite all the craziness.
So
you know?
I have an idea just to bounce off you guys, you know, just spitballing mm-hmm. here. If I had a whiteboard, I'd use it, but yeah. we'll just verbally whiteboard yeah. this thing. So Ronnie, you're worried about your time management because you got these multiple responsibilities. What if we yeah. included some sort of pastor care moments into the Happy Rant during 2021?
Whoa.
I mean, I don't know what it would look like, but I feel like we yeah. could just, you know, kind of kill two birds with one stone, get maximum value, that kind of thing. What or does that step on the toes of your best friend podcast?
That's tough. Yeah,
boys, it doesn't. But we are talking about economics here. So if you want me to you know provide additional content, I think that requires you know additional you know how shall we say.
So what I'm hearing from the man of the cloth on the podcast is that 2021 is the year of finding your value in your work, finding your value in some new job titles and some additional income, which typically always works well for people. So that sounds like
it's a winning combination.
It really is. So yes.
It really is.
Validate me by my work.
It really is.
I'm the pastoral care and rest guy, yet I'm going to be working about 80 hours a week. That sounds good.
I'm literally going to be working myself into the grave, telling everybody to rest. Not work themselves
yeah, yeah.
into the grave.
Solid, dude. In that, you will be like every other pastoral care guy who has ever existed. So,
just ready to die on the vine.
Yeah, just ready to wither up and die on the vine. So there's good precedent for that.
That's a really good phrase, die on the vine. I feel very pastored right now. Strong work.
Yeah, in fact, well, I feel very pastored and encouraged by our boy Big T Pipe. I'm guessing how you're feeling right now because he's bringing the optimism, man. Yeah. There's just like, it's like pouring a big like gallon of optimism.
Dude, here's the Yoda tweet.
So much affirmation.
Right, here's the Yoda tweet. Pastors, .. Get out there and die on the vine. You can use that, baby.
As a pastor who's dying on the vine, let me encourage
from one pastor who's dying on the vine to another, get out there and die on the vine.
Get out there, destroy the day, yeah. and don't die
crush
on the vine.
Crush the day, die on the vine.
Crushing it.
You have to write it more opaquely, though. You have to make it almost indecipherable, and then it'll be...
Dude, crush the day, die on the vine. I mean, dude, we're just coming up with new t-shirt ideas right now, boys.
Dude, speaking of t-shirt ideas, Pipe, where are we at with the new like merch provider, the new old merch provider? I'm ready for some new swag.
We need to pitch him any ideas we have. Maybe this is a workshop moment.
I think it's happening
right now. Let's do business.
We need to pitch him any ideas we have on new products. So he doesn't in true relaunching of a line, he does not want to just roll out the old stuff and, you know, kind of say, "Hey, look, we're running it back." But
yeah.
he wants to make, if you will, Ted, the James Harden trade. To revamp the roster.
Dude, I love it. I love
swag.
It.
So,
dude, speaking of the James Harden trade, and Ronald, just, I don't know, look at log cabins for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Take this moment to rest in the middle of your 80-hour work.
Boys, I'm shopping on this little site called Amazon.
Baby, this has something to do with the aesthetic of our new swag, though. So I am going to tie it into clothing and aesthetics, which is a passion of yours.
Just let me know when you're ready to tie me back in.
Maybe right now. But Pipe, I wanted to ask you, are you loving the kind of like throwback look that the New Jersey Nets, but it's kind of the like Derek Coleman, Drazen Petrovic like uniform aesthetic with the powder blue? Because I'm loving it.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I like all throwback uniforms. I dislike all alternate uniforms.
Yeah.
So modern alternates can all be burned in the landfill somewhere.
Why? What does that have to do with anything? What do you mean?
What do you mean? What does it have to do with anything?
Why do you hate all? Is it because they're alternates or because they never look as good?
Because nobody has a home and an away uniform anymore. Every right. game, it's like, oh, it's our third road alternate, and so it's, you know, something that doesn't even involve the team's color. What's the point of having a uniform if it's different colors every time? And like, yeah, I mean, I realize the point is sell more stuff and make more money, but I love. Yeah,
classic. I was going to say, are they just trying to? Because you can buy jerseys, and they're trying to just
jerseys and hats and everything in different color schemes, and so like,
yeah, dude, it's stupid. I mean, this is the death rattle of the NBA. It's the last gasp at trying to like squeeze dollars out of their viewers. But I'm with Pipe. It sucks. I mean, it's
okay. So I didn't realize that. So okay, so the old school, you have your home and your away uniform.
Yeah.
That's all been blown to smithereens. It's like, hey, look, we're wearing like rainbow colors
smithereens
every week. Yeah. Kind of a
thing. Well, especially in basketball. Like, you turn on basketball, you don't know which teams are playing by looking at the uniforms anymore. So, like, totally. The Lakers were wearing like baby blue against the Suns in like green last week or something.
It's
like,
just awful.
Who? These teams have colors, and they're classic, and they're great uniforms, and no more. So,
yeah, if the Lakers aren't in yellow or purple, I'm not interested. It's just
I don't.
Boys, now we're speaking my language, and I totally agree with that, man.
Good.
See, you know? Yeah,
dude, so, it'd be like the Dodgers coming out in some like, I don't know,
yeah, and like
garish orange pinstripe,
you know,
thing,
or like you know how the Dodgers have a little bit of red on their lettering. If they decided to do a red uniform with like gray pants or red jersey, gray pants, and call
themselves, they'd just be the Angels, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, so or like a minor league team. They would just, it'd look like a spring training game. It would be terrible. That's basically
what the crazy boys is like. So the sport that I follow, which is professional motocross, like they've made these strides now. So like, there's this trend now in my sport where they've gone back to all solid, non-circus looking colors.
Oh, I like it.
So dude, it's kind of like the old school uniforms where like, if you ride like a yellow bike, like the trend now is to wear just like solid, like yellow and black gear, and it looks just insanely awesome.
That's great, baby.
And that's what we need to get back to. Like when we're describing like the White Sox and these like seminal teams that had these like amazing color combos that were just way more like solid, and they were striking because they were so minimal.
Yeah.
That's what we need to get back to.
Baby, can I ask you a question? Somewhat personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long has it been since you've been on a dirt bike? How many years?
2004.
Can we get you back on a dirt bike in 2021? I feel,
boys, I got some news for you, man. I talked to Big M at the end of 20, and I said, hey, I said, we have a pretty open year, not a lot of stuff to do. How would you feel about me buying a dirt bike and getting back into it? To which she replied, she looked up from her novel and said, yeah, go for it.
Yes. Dude, I love it.
Is that simple?
The fodder here for pastoral metaphors is amazing.
Yeah, just go, Pipe. Go.
You know, what was that book, Art and, what was it, something in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
Art of War?
It
was a huge book back in the day. I mean, just sort of like a philosophy of work and life. Like, totally. Ronnie can do the pastoral version of that.
Oh, it'll be complete garbage, but it would outsell anything you've ever done.
Pastoring in the Art of Motocross Maintenance or something like
gosh,
that?
Oh my gosh,
dude. I mean, it just writes itself.
Dude, all these metaphor. Little fey kind of doughy pastors who have never like turned a wrench would line up to buy that book. It'd be incredible.
Yeah, they'd love it. Be pouring grease all over their beards.
They would. They'd be pouring motor oil, like 5W30 in their beards.
Castor oil.
Yeah, Mobil 1 synthetic all over the beard. Yeah. Oh.
Dude, I love that you know about Mobil 1, T. That's impressive.
Yeah, dude, I've been doing a little car maintenance here at the house. It's been a lot.
T, that is so – dude, you know, man, I got to address that, man.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We didn't really suss it last time. Dude, I pay everybody to do everything, and you don't, and I find that fascinating.
Well, dude, I've got more I want to say on the motocross thing too. But, I mean, I would say – you know, just by way of clarity, I pay most people to do most things.
But it always sounds like you're talking, you're always talking this big DIY game.
Yeah.
And I'm like saying that, like, dude, I've known you for a decade now, and I didn't, that's not the T that I knew way back in the day. And I feel like there's been some shift.
Dude, there's been a little shift. And I think it's, okay, so you're an Enneagram 4, so you understand shame, or at least theoretically.
No, I understand it like legitimately.
Yeah, it's the air we breathe, right? So for me, like the older I got and like sort of the deeper I got into like, and this is a triggering word, manhood.
Easy.
Oh,
I wish you wouldn't have said
that. I know, baby. Stay with me, okay? But
I wish to gosh that wouldn't come out of your lips.
Dude, right but the now. More the deeper I got into again triggering word manhood, like the more ashamed I felt at paying like other grown men money to do things that I should just like as a matter of course be able to do. So
Did it have anything to do with Double K like using the triggering word manhood on you to shame you? I'm not saying anything about Double K,
dude,
but like
no,
did she use that as a way to say, hey, you know, maybe you should step up and like
dude, no, no know, way. Like, Double
like,
K is
like change your oil every once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, no, she's the least shaming person on that level imaginable. Like she doesn't yeah. think in those categories. She doesn't care. But
I didn't think she did, but I had to
ask. Yeah, no, Ronnie, that's a good question.
I've got the title for your book.
Yeah, go pipe.
Shame in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Oh, perfect.
Just Harvest House, if you're listening, there you go. You'll make millions. Just
yeah, Tyndale's actually just emailed me after they heard you say that. So
just write it now.
We're doing a deal. Oh, look, Wolg just sent me the deal. It's done. He just wrote
dude,
it.
Dude, that's seriously the most money idea I think anyone has ever had on this show. That book will make you, if not rich, it will... It's going to check a lot of boxes for you, baby, in that it's going to monetize your midlife crisis. So that's good. Mm. It's going to position you as kind of like the Zen Yoda pastor that you've always wanted to be. It's going to allow you to quit pastoring because you'll be so rich from the book. Like it's going to,
that's
totally the goal. Yeah. You want to be an expert pastor while also doing no pastoring, which is what all these guys want. So, I think it's a great thing. I think we've done good work here on
back to your but suss out just give another minute on the whole like I'm an industrious guy now.
Well,
I'm a triggering manhood guy.
Well,
now.
Dude, I'm not a triggering manhood guy, but we bought this house with all this property, and there's just like stuff to be done, and I wanted to be the kind of person that could do X percentage of it, right? Because if I had to hire all of it out,
you'd be Ronnie Martin.
I would be you, and I would not be able to
you'd
respect
be constantly
myself.
Frustrated,
yeah, yeah.
Spending every extra dime you ever make on anything, just giving it to guys to do.
Well,
work.
Dude, all kidding aside, like you know, I think I'm at a point in my life where I want to hear you on this because I think we're different on this level. I don't just want to sit around and be ethereal. You know what I mean? I don't want to just be in my own head all the time and be like thinking of some stupid story that I'm going to put in a book. And that's fun still. Like I still enjoy stupid stories that go in books, but like more and more, I wanted to have a little bit of an experience of boots on the ground in the real world, doing
some
actual things like moving stuff around, you know, and you know, being able to like beat back nature in the way that you have to when you live down here and stuff grows. And I don't know, I've enjoyed it. I would say for the most part, I've enjoyed it. There have been things that have been frustrating about it. And still, like, I'm the first person to, like, make the phone call and call in the expert when I feel like I'm out of my depth. But I don't know. Can you relate to that at all? Like, the idea of, gosh, I've spent 20 years being the writer, you know, sitting around trying to think of things and write them down. I don't know. I'm a little tired.
Yeah. You just want more. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, it's like, there's a sense where because of the kind of work that really all three of us do, it's not very measurable.
Right.
And so I think what you're describing is we have that, as you get older, you have that craving to do something measurable to where like, man, I can start a task, I can complete it, and then I can move on to the next task.
Right.
Because, you know, even what you do at the university is so similar to like what me and Piper do in pastoral ministry, where nothing really is ever done.
Right.
You just keep kind of doing what you're doing, but there's no sense of completion to it.
Right.
And I do, man, I like, and I'm not trying to be funny right now, but I like doing anything of which there is a start and an end to,
totally.
like doing the dishes, like just get me something that like,
something I can
finish. Just complete something, something that can finish. Yeah. Because so much of that, you know, whether you're doing like art or you're writing or pastoring or teaching, it just isn't a start, stop, completion kind of
totally.
A vocation.
Totally.
You know, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I think I think that's one of the myths of being a writer too. Cause you publish something and then people are like, oh, you finished your book. And you're like, no, I published a book. Those are not the same
thing. I just put it out. I just gave it to the publisher to say.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason why I don't go back and look at stuff after I publish it, because I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure I'd find something that I would like to add, maybe subtract, maybe say
mentally you were Yeah, you were done with it a year and a half ago, you know,
it's a mental completion. Yeah. It's like, I always say, like, even like a sermon isn't done until you preach it. You know what I mean? Like, you can tweak that thing for, you just got to preach. Eventually you got to preach it. And then even after that, I mean, it's only done in the sense that you preached it, but if you did it again, you'd tweak it. Like, it's just anything of that sort of anything of a creative nature just has no end. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you have to be okay with that.
But the undersold part of all creative work is that the publishing basically comes at the point of giving up.
Yeah,
like it's not at the point of completion. It's at the point of whatever. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I'm done with it. I don't have any other ideas. Yeah. I can't stand to look at it one more second.
Yeah.
And to reclaim my sanity, to move on and have a life again, I got to relinquish it.
Baby, I've got a follow up on the motocross thing though.
Laid on me.
And this is again analogous to my life in some way. So I'm fascinated by the fact that Big M didn't fight you on it at all, because KK has landed in a place with, like, I'm still playing semi-pro football, which is insane at my age.
Yeah.
He's playing Keith Green in the background.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Not me. Okay.
I usually like to have a little Keith.
A little Keith lightly in the background. Get you in the mood for podcasting. But
for sure.
KK stopped fighting the football thing like a few years ago. And yeah, it's been fascinating because she always hated it and kind of used to fight it. But it's cool that she doesn't anymore. But my question more broadly is, like, how much of this do you feel is one last like grasp at retaining some vestige of your youth? And I ask that completely from a position of doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think I totally get what you're saying. I mean, me and him have a little bit of a history with it because she used to kind of do some of this stuff with me. Sure. So it's not like she rides, but she gets to kind of do the thing with me where you go out to the track and you hang out and you grab breakfast. And it's something that she kind of gets to do with me a little bit. So it is actually fun for her as well. But I know what you're saying. Big M has always been, dude, she's just not, she doesn't have a tight grip around things like that. Mm-hmm. She's always been like, hey, just, you know, do what you want to do. You know, I'm behind you. Uh-huh. The biggest thing in our life has been the music stuff, because that took me away from her for, you know, all that time, you know, early on in our lives.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing that would be the biggest struggle for her, because it's an isolating thing. Yeah. It's something that's done in the absence of her.
Well, yeah, the very nature of the kind of music that you do, you're doing it alone and then you're touring without her or whatever. So it would be a much tougher.
So that's been that one.
Yeah, it'd be a much tougher sell for you to say, I want to go back out on the road or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And so and so most of the stuff we do now is like we do together. So like so even if I'm primarily working on it, it's something that if it ends up with it being something that brings us together, you know, like it's fun, it's cool, it works. She's not super tight on that stuff.
Dude, so I think Piper right now is not quite old enough to be doing the sad last grasp at retaining vestiges of his youth, but he's probably 5 or 6 years away from
that. And I just love how you phrase that, and thank you. But
no, I mean, I'm in it, dude. I'm doing exactly the same thing, 100%.
Don't they call this a midlife crisis? It's just that you guys are not doing like the throw your life away thing. You're more just it's like a sedate version.
We're trying to actually keep our
lives and our marriages and all that kind of stuff.
Very, very laudable. I'm really glad for both of you on that front. This just sounds like a real low key midlife crisis. So instead of like sports car or boat, sorry, Ted, no boat. You know, and no like bottle blonde who's half your age. It's the, you know, Ted got a weed whacker and Ronnie got a motorcycle.
Yeah. That's basically it. You know, you put it in
there. And that sounds so sad.
Yeah, I know
it. Sounds so sad.
I know it.
To be fair, Ronnie got a very small motorcycle. It was a tiny motorcycle, not like a big hog.
I know.
It's a dirt bike.
Pipe, you've really put a fine point on this thing for us. And in a way, I wish you hadn't, you know?
Well, let's assume we'll keep doing this show for another few years, and then you can turn the tables on me.
Totally.
How long do we think this show is going to last?
At least through the publication of a book. How's that?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Can we just do a handshake deal on that and then we, you know, take it from there?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think I put my mug in the
I think I can agree to that.
Yeah.
you know. I think I can agree to that.
Yeah. How long do we think we're going to be doing this, boys? I mean, we could be...
I don't know.
We could be old men doing this show. Like...
We could be.
Yeah. Are we doing this at 70? What do we think?
I mean, what will be the format at 70? Will it still be potting?
It's just grumpy old men at that point. It's just, you know, I think you'd,
I mean, we'd have to. It's grumpy youngish men at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been an aspiring grumpy old man since I was like 17. So this is, I'm just counting down.
We know.
Dude, how is it that we, I want to ask you guys about this, and I'll try to be clear on it, but I'm not sure. How is it that we still have an audience in light of the fact that literally everyone has a podcast now? And follow-up question, how is it that Ron and I are still okay having a podcast, even though literally everybody else is doing it and it's no longer unique? Do you guys get what I'm saying?
Well, because the rant wasn't even like early in the pod game. It wasn't like there weren't already like 20 million pods when this thing started either. So
yeah,
it actually started at a time when there already were like a lot of pods. Yeah. And of course there are even more now.
Yeah.
But maybe we were early enough in the game to where it was still novel enough to where it attracted people.
Well, dude, but literally, and tell me if this is true, you guys, because you guys run in the pastoral ministry circles, every young pastor I meet has a Two Pastors Talking podcast.
It's what you do,
where it's like him and another guy, and it's called, I don't know, the Reformatory
or Pastor Talk
or whatever. And they've got swag,
the Art of Pastoring, like
they all have t-shirts. Yeah, the Art of Pastoring, you know, for example. I don't know, it's just, are there enough people to listen to all these podcasts? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's like anything else where a market gets flooded with like books or music. It's like, yeah, it's like, I don't know. The good stuff always rises.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, that's how I look at it.
I think there was the aspect when we got in as well, the Christian podcast space was pretty much teaching and lectures. Those like sermons,
yeah,
lectures.
It was minimal, right?
That's true. There wasn't a lot of conversational stuff. And Christians are still bad at having fun. And so the fact that we basically get on and talk about whatever we want and have a sense of humor about it still kind of puts us in a place that other people haven't figured out. Like, they have fun about theology, or they have fun about church ministry, but they don't have fun about, like, I mean, we just spent 20 minutes talking about motocross, and we were going to talk t-shirt designs, but then got distracted by retro uniforms. And
yeah,
you know, here we are.
Pipe, can we do 5 minutes on t-shirt designs?
Yes.
And then we'll wrap the show, because I know we got to get a Patreon app in. But
wait, are we going to do the Houston thing? I mean, the Hillsong thing?
Oh, yeah, the Hillsong guy and the sex tips. You want to go a couple minutes on that?
The I'll have what she's having portion of the episode?
Yeah. So,
well, hit it all, T. Go in whatever sequence you want, man.
Which doesn't have to do with t-shirt design, just to be clear.
Yeah, let's go Hillsong, and then let's end with t-shirts, because I'm fired up about this t-shirt thing. But this was a link to an article that Piper sent this morning in our pre-show production meeting about how, and here's the headline, Megachurch Pastor's Bizarre Sex Tips. And it was an Australian news website, because apparently Hillsong like is headquartered or started in Australia, which is a thing that I didn't know. I just thought it was a cheesy like American thing. But anyway, this guy, he's not young. He's probably north of 60. I guess he dropped all these sex tips about,
I think it was his wife. So Brian and Bobby Houston, Bobby is the woman, they founded Hillsong. No, Brian is the guy. But yeah, I realize when you don't see a picture, it's hard to tell. But yeah, Bobby Houston is the wife and co-founding pastor, I believe, of Hillsong, the worldwide network of quote unquote churches.
There was a Bobby Houston that played linebacker for the Jets in the 90s.
I was just going to say that.
I know, baby.
Speaking of great retro uniforms.
Literally was.
Oh, I know it. So, yeah, the sex tips were all like, basically remain hot, don't gain any weight, get your teeth fixed. It was ridiculous. And a bunch of stuff I probably shouldn't talk about that was more explicit than that. But yeah,
all easily attainable things if you've got
If you've got a cool mill laying around, which we'll have after our books come out, but
not if you keep buying weed whackers and motorcycles.
Well, I know. Yeah. Well, thanks, Pipe. I mean, that's a good word of caution there. That's iron sharpening iron.
Also not on the remain hot list.
Mm. Mm.
You know?
Mm. Now,
granted, Ted, the gardener in various different TV shows and things has gotten a lot of play as the attractive one. So maybe you got something going with the weed whacker thing. So,
dude, that's what I'm going for. I'm going for kind of a hot gardener thing. You know, like I'm in back and KK sees me through the window, and you know, that's kind of when we publish our inappropriate sex tips in 20 years, that'll be on the list.
Okay,
I think we have the name of the book.
Hot Gardener.
Hot Gardener. Yeah.
I love it too.
I'm wondering what are the appropriate sex tips?
Well, yeah, it does beg the
you
question.
Know, what is? I feel like if the moment that phrase gets used, people are just. You know, like you've just sort of stepped firmly into, like that should happen in a counseling session somewhere, not publicly published. I don't know.
Dude, so did the great Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, do ultimately like a sex tips thing right at the end of his career?
Spurgeon? I don't think, did those old guys even, did they even have talk about that stuff?
Ron, are you
just so voodoo?
Are you and Jared going to address this on The Art of Pastoring?
Oh, 100.
I feel like this needs to be a thing. Yours, Ron's will be indecipherable. So readers will be like, I want to get better at sex, but I don't get what he's saying. It's so opaque. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when you...
That's actually the name of my sex book. It's called Opaque.
I'd be here for Yoda sex tips, though. You know, let's get that. Let's get that going.
Can you imagine?
Mm. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. Also, I don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think these guys, they get bored just doing their usual stuff, and I think this is kind of where.
When you say bored doing their usual stuff, what?
Interpret that as you will.
I mean, we remember the last explicitly like sexy sex thing that dropped was obviously Driscoll with Real Marriage, and that caused a lot of just a lot of, how shall we say, concern.
Dude, he had a chapter on Botox and tanning and...
On the church community, all that stuff.
Beard coloring, you know.
I mean, this doesn't... I mean, even on the heels of that, and that thing's a decade or so old now. I mean, this doesn't... This seems pretty... doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, and this is from a kind of confirmed whack job already. I mean, you know, I think the Drisky thing was unique because he wasn't yet in like whack job territory, I don't think, when that came out.
That was the fully jumped the shark.
It was?
Which wasn't in the book, by the way. Jumped the shark moment of his career.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, this is where Ronald's headed, don't you think, Pipe? I mean, if you're going to be Pastor Yoda in 5-10 years, I mean, in all these celebrity
pastors, him
guys
writing.
Have to,
I could see like Ronnie writing this in verse, though. You know, like
it's so not.
Just Ronnie will try. He'll try to like
full
rip
like
off
Song of Solomon.
Yeah,
Redux.
Song of Ronnie.
Yeah, it might be a little more like that. Like I'll be talking about sex, but you'll have no idea. I really.
Yeah. Interesting, man. That'll be great.
I mean, that'll be one of our chapters in the new.
Yeah,
book too,
I feel like in Shame in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, you could have a whole thing about like the sensuality of.
Oh yeah.
Something, you know, like there's, you just sort of. It becomes a thing without you ever saying it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, boys, we've done.
Boys, I feel so inspired.
We've done good work.
I mean, I feel like, man, my midlife crisis thing has taken a turn into just sadness and just, you
despair.
Know, just patheticness and despair. And, you know, the opaque sex book that we're all thinking through now, right? It's just, man, what an app.
This has been a creative session, if it's been anything.
Been
so.
Incredible.
Real quick on that level, though, don't think for a minute that I'm going to do anything when we're done recording except open up an email to our guy from Missional Wear and hit him with some ideas. And I'm thinking, Pipe, vintage sports, like color palettes and fonts. Like, I want a New Jersey Nets circa the 90s Happy Rant sweatshirt and like akin to Colby Pirates. Kind of long sleeve tee or whatever. So that's where my head's at. I want to know where you guys are at aesthetically, with the new clothing line that we're going to launch. Men's clothiers. That's what we are.
Yeah.
clothiers.
Yeah.
I feel strongly that I like the vintage thing. Baby blue needs to be featured at some point. Mm-hmm. I think, so an idea is what would we want to do, like limited runs of shirts that feature sort of slogans from the show, or commonly used phrases, just, you know, until next time, which is our sign off, Ted, just giving you a heads up in advance in case you stumble over that.
I've been struggling with that.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The concussions are a son of a gun. could we perhaps work with artist in residence, Megan? I don't think her last name's Tennant anymore. She got married. Megan, formerly known as Tennant, to do some gear with her fine artwork involved. There's options here, folks. We've got gifted listeners who have done some creative things.
Yeah, we do.
I know, and I feel like we've hit a lull because we haven't been pursuing that side of our brand, boys. Mm. And I think we need to resurrect that.
I agree. That's what 2021 is going to be.
That's
about.
What 21 is all about.
It's the year
that's
of
what
t-shirts
it represents for us. It
the
is
year of t-shirts.
It's the year of resurrection,
dude. We got to get this clothing line dropped.
It's the year of resurrection and insurrection. That's what it's the year of.
Wow.
Oh, snap. It just got quiet in here.
Well, yeah. Nobody knows really what you're talking about, which is on brand for you.
Is that part of the Opaque Sex book? Like, is that why we didn't know what you were talking about?
No, I think you guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't think I do, actually.
I don't know if I want to at this point. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I mean, T doesn't watch the news, so I don't know.
Can we do like 2 minutes on that?
If you haven't stalked social media like we know you do over the last week, then yeah, you may not know what we mean when we say.
Dude, anything. I want to go 2 minutes on this new leaf that you're turning over of being like political guy. Can you talk about where that came from and like where you're going with it? Because it's fascinating.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere with it. I think it just kind of gets on your crawl a little bit.
It doesn't get on my crawl, but like literally one of the first things that we connected over was our mutual like not caring about politics. And now you've become like, I don't know, like Anderson Cooper over there. You're like political commentator guy. You're trying to be all Stephen Colbert on the thing.
Saying I've become like Anderson Cooper might be the overstatement.
Dude, you're going on Wolf Blitzer over there. You know, like,
I want to know
like who got you into this and is it fun?
I mean, dude. I mean, that is so, I mean, if Big M could hear you say that, she might not be able to stop laughing today to even call.
Dude, why? I'm sure she's noticed though. Like you're a political commentary guy now. Talk about it. I'm fascinated. Cause I think this is part of the midlife crisis.
Less a political commentary guy. That's insanity.
You could be less of one though. Cause there are people who are less of one now. Like you're on the spectrum.
Oh, I don't
remember. Everybody's on the spectrum. Awesome. So,
Pipe, don't you think this is kind of a new...
Boys, no, Pipe, you got to defend me, man. Go and read my Twitter feed, and dude, it's just insane. I get accused of not being political enough, like, all the time, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, people are always going to accuse other people of
but
that.
See, but see, I think that might be nudging you in a direction you might not be realizing you're going.
No, I realize my direction.
Dude, but Pipe, you know? Understand, when I met Ron, like, how long ago was that, dude? Like a decade ago? Decade plus?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were the least political guy, and I was like, oh, finally, I found somebody that cares about politics as little as I do.
All right, so T, I'm going to be a little honest with you right now. I am incredibly disinterested in politics to the point to where that is offensive to a great many people that I'm in contact with.
Sure.
And so when I'm around a lot of people of which, man, that is the only speed they're on all the time.
Really?
And they're constantly.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. They're talking about it just constantly. Mm. So, I mean, honestly, no hype. I'm around a lot of people that are just all about it all the time. So I've had to sort of educate myself a little bit to be able to have some conversations about it and deform some of my own views in terms of, you know, having to pastor.
Yeah.
People that are coming to me with questions. So I'm just a little more informed than I used to be. Mm-hmm. I would say a little bit more, and I mean that in a real way.
Yeah.
But I would say my passions absolutely are exactly where they were when we met. Mm-hmm. I just don't have a passion for it at all. Yeah. And that's a fact.
In Ronnie's defense, since he asked me to come to his defense and then I make fun of him. If you are a pastor, it's really hard to be, completely and utterly apolitical. Because if you are, you're actually doing somebody a disservice. Because you have to at least have some level of an informed perspective on where your congregation sits and where the divisions are. And like Ronnie said, being able to speak to the person who comes in and goes, what are your opinions on critical race theory? And you have to be able to at least have some level of understanding of what is this phrase they just said that sounds like a random string of words. Yeah. And so you can't be apolitical. And if you are, you're one of those just preach the gospel guys who never addresses it. You're actually not being very helpful. Like, you have to have some ability to converse, to be aware, to know what does scripture have to say about this stuff to some degree.
Dude, how?
So I think it's more of a functional thing for me, but like, there's not a passion there at all.
Interesting.
It's just like what Pipe said. Pipe, that was well said. I think, so to me, it's just, hey, what's going on in the world? What are some of the questions that I can anticipate are going to come my way? And then let me just become a little educated, in some of those areas. And again, for me, it's just all baseline stuff. You know, it's reading an article here and there to just make sure I kind of get my head around some of those terms. Cause I have other interests, for sure.
Anderson Cooper, ladies and gentlemen.
And on that note.
This has been illuminating.
RM360.
Yeah, this has been illuminating.
RM180.
Yeah, yeah. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program. In that we have no promos today, right, Pipe?
We got none. Except Redbud Coffee. Go to redbudcoffee.com. Use code HAPPYRAND to check out. Get your 10% off. It's good coffee. The Brazilian roast.
Always
is the best.
A promo.
Kill it.
Our old friends. Dude, I'm thinking about t-shirts. I got nothing else on the mind right now. So I'm going to sign it off. We've done what we always do, boys, in that we have wandered to and fro throughout some topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of million praying moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.